Welcome to Today on Broadway for Friday, October 21st, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway star's James Marino.
James, this episode is coming out on Friday, so I guess this is 2 days after what will be the new Broadway Christmas, because at 11:16 p.m. on Wednesday, October 19th, 2016, Sally James McDonald Swenson was born, the new savior of all musical theater fans. Of course, six-time Tony winner Audra McDonald and her husband, Tony nominee Will Swenson, welcomed their daughter into the world, and everyone in the hinterlands rejoiced, and there was singing on high. This is a very special day, James.
I am so excited for them. That's great. Congratulations, Audra and Will.
Yeah, so that's a lot of fun. And Audra tweeted out a little picture of Sally's feet on Twitter. She said they named their daughter after Will's late mother Sally, and Audra's father, his middle name was James, so that's where the James came from. So congratulations.
Okay,
yeah. Not you.
I know. Yeah, that's what you assumed. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, no. But congratulations to them. Yeah, it's so great. I mean, that's who doesn't love Audra and Will? It's just a really cool thing. So we've got baby McDonald Swenson down. Next, we've got to have the Benanti baby and the Hilty baby so they can all form a super Broadway show tune singing group.
I was thinking about like the League of Justice type of Saturday morning cartoons. These could be a Broadway League of Children or something like that. Superstars of Broadway, you know.
Yeah, I like it.
And also, you know, this is the special weekend for parents. Do you know that? That this is the weekend where we test all the Halloween candy and have to go out to Duane Reade and buy another bag of Halloween candy because we've eaten it all over the weekend.
I had no idea.
All right, first up in the news, Bandstand finally coming to Broadway this spring.
Yeah, James, it feels like this show has been trying to get into a Broadway house since '04, but it is now official. The musical from Richard Oberacker and Robert Taylor, Bandstand, will arrive on Broadway in a Schubert Theater to be named later on April 26th of 2017. As it did at the Paper Mill Playhouse, the show will star Laura Osnes, who has been turning down other shows to stick with this project, and Corey Cott, formerly of Newsies and Gigi. Tony winner and Cats ineligible choreographer Andy Blankenbuehler will direct and choreograph as he did at Paper Mill. According to the show notes, Bandstand is set in the smoke-filled, swing-fueled nightclubs of 1945, and the musical brings the against-all-odds story of singer-songwriter Donnie Nowitzki and his band of mismatched fellow World War II veterans to the stage. Osnes plays young war widow Julia, the band's singer. The show's first performance date, additional casting, and creative team will be announced shortly. James, did you see this at Paper Mill?
I don't remember. Feel like I did, but I can't remember anything about it. So maybe I just saw the presentation of it.
Okay. I feel like I remember Peter talking about it, but I'm not 100% sure if you saw it as well. So I guess it has been trying to come to Broadway forever. So yeah. Maybe it's been so long, all the theater you see, it's all gotten mushed up together.
It does. It really is one big blur after a while. But, you know, Laura Osnes, you have to remember that stuff.
Absolutely.
All right. Next up in our daily news of Hello, Dolly, it finds an alternate.
Yeah, James, we knew this type of announcement was coming, but yesterday Scott Rudin made it official when he announced that two-time Tony winner Donna Murphy would be putting on her Tuesday best as Bette Midler's alternate in Hello, Dolly.
Oh.
See what I did there? Yeah. Beginning on June 13th, Murphy will handle the Tuesday performances and will play the role full time during Midler's pre-scheduled vacations. Before Murphy joins the company, they will be dark on both Mondays and Tuesdays. Tickets for Donna's performances are on sale now. Hello, Dolly will begin performances at the Schubert Theater on March 15th with an April 20th opening. James, I mean, Donna McKechnie was Cheetah's standby for The Visit, but can you put on your Peter Felicia hat and think of any other time when a star the size of Murphy has been an alternate in a Broadway show?
Oh, No.
I can't either.
Yeah, no, I can't think of somebody that big. That's a really good question. We'll have to run that by Peter on Sunday.
And Donna, as we've talked about before, her husband passed away earlier this year. She's got kids who are in school, so she does some TV stuff. She's on the PBS Civil War drama Mercy Street, but you know, having a regular Broadway gig where you go out once a week is not a bad thing for a mom with kids in school.
Absolutely. All right, next up, Rocky Horror Picture Show on Fox.
Yeah, we are taping this before the show airs, but I've seen the screener, and I will have a full review that goes up on Broadway World as soon as the broadcast is over. We'll have a link to it in the show notes. And I'll just give a brief review here. I am by no means a Rocky Horror, in whether picture show or just Rocky Horror Show, devotee. But man, was I underwhelmed by Fox's production. I expected it to be much, much worse than it actually was based off the really bland commercials and features that they released. But it wasn't bad. It just wasn't much of anything. It felt incredibly sanitized, incredibly safe. It's two words that you really don't want associated with anything Rocky Horror related. And Kenny Ortega, who's made a career directing and choreographing movie musicals, either on the big screen or the small screen, he just seemed to make every decision wrong when it came to what was working and what wasn't. He has an unbelievable talent in Annalee Ashford, who just lights up the screen whenever she gets to do anything, because she is just that idiosyncratically charismatic. But she doesn't really get to do a whole lot. I mean, granted, the part of Columbia is not the biggest part in the show, but it feels like they didn't go out of their way to try to make more for her to do, which is too bad because she really is one of the few bright spots. Unfortunately, Laverne Cox, who plays Dr. Frankenfurter, is meandering. She has a really bizarre accent that seems to come and go, and she's not a great singer, although I'm Going Home towards the end of the production was good. But other than that, she didn't really have the ominous presence or the charisma that you want Frankenfurter to have. Reeve Carney, erstwhile Spider-Man, was great. He was creepy as riffraff. Ryan McCartan, who we've talked about before, the original JD and Heathers off Broadway, as well as a Jimmy Award winner. He was good as Brad, but there really just wasn't a whole lot to get excited about. The only thing that really gets your blood going is the fact that Tim Curry plays the narrator and criminologist, and knowing that he's still recovering from a stroke, and to see him back involved with Rocky Horror was really, really cool. And even though his speech is still, you know, labored a little bit, he is able to sing a few lines here and there. And even in his state, it's still pretty cool to see that. So I'm interested to hear what other people say. Like I said, I am not a Rocky Horror fan. You know, I don't dislike it, but I'm not a diehard like many people are. So let me know what you think on Twitter. And to be honest with you, even though I didn't love it, a lot of other critics who got to see the screeners and published their reviews early hated it. So I feel like I'm actually more generous in my critical response than a lot of other people are, even though I'm not really on board.
You're going to be the quoted one. Matt Tamanini from Broadway World says,
it doesn't suck completely.
So, you watch a screener, you're at home by yourself. I think that 90% of the Rocky Horror fun is watching it with a lot of people who are involved.
Yeah, so, no, absolutely. And one thing about this production, James, is that one thing Kenny Ortega did that was really creative was that he had – I mean, obviously it's all actors, but he had an audience in a movie theater watching what was going on in Rocky Horror on a big screen, and they did some of the reactions, but that's just like Annalee Ashford. He didn't use it enough. He had this really fun gimmick and just didn't, you know, utilize it well. He could have done it in so many more cases, but it was done on just a short handful, and I think that would have helped get some of that energy that you get in the theaters like you talk about.
All right, what's up in show and casting news?
Well, we got a whole bunch of stuff coming out here, so we'll run through it real quick. James, I'm sorry to tell you, this is going to burst your bubble, but for the 27th time in your acting career, you will not be playing Chris in Miss Saigon on Broadway. I'm sorry. Cameron McIntosh and his company announced that Alistair Brammer will reprise his role as American GI Chris in the Broadway revival of Miss Saigon. Unfortunately, Brammer was the Chris from the 2014 anniversary production that I talked about a few weeks ago that I got to see in the movie theaters, and he was not so great. I know some people who saw it who loved him. He didn't do it for me, but I wish him luck. Miss Saigon begins performances at the Broadway Theater on March 1st. He'll obviously be joining his London co-stars John Briones, who plays the engineer, and Eva Noble-Zader, who plays Kim, and Rachel Lango, who's playing Gigi. So good luck to them. That pretty much rounds out most of the principals. So all that's left is just come some of the ensemblists, and we'll get ready to rock and roll on March 1st.
And Boyd Gaines is joining Kate Burton in The Dead 1904 at Irish Rep.
Yeah, Irish Rep announced its full cast for James Joyce's classic story, The Dead 1904. What's interesting about this is that this production is going to be immersive, and it's adapted by Pulitzer Prize winning Irish poet Paul Muldoon and novelist Jean Hanf Korelitz. It's going to be directed by Irish Rep co-founder Cyrian O'Reilly. It begins previews on November 19th, 2016, and runs through January 7th of 2017. Obviously, three-time Emmy and Tony Award nominee Kate Burton will be joined by record-setting four-time Tony winner Boyd Gaines and Tony Award winner Carol Shelley. So it's a really good cast. James, it seems to me like Irish Rep over the last few years has really been amping up the star power. I don't remember them being a major player in years past, but they've had, you know, Matthew Broderick in a show here recently, and obviously now these stars. It seems like they're really starting to up their game. Am I wrong?
No, I can't disagree with that. I don't know the stats on it, but Irish Rep has always put out some really, really good stuff, and everybody wants to work there, and they just rebuilt their theaters, so maybe that has
something to do with it.
Okay, Charity Angel Dawson's going to take over as Becky and Waitress.
Yeah, yesterday the producers of the Broadway hit Waitress announced that Charity Angel Dawson, who originated with Waitress back at ART in Cambridge in the role of Nurse Norma, she would be taking over the role of Becky from Keala Settle, who originated it both in Cambridge and on Broadway. She begins performances on October 20th, which was yesterday. These replacements have been coming fast and furious with Waitress, which is kind of surprising, James. The show's doing really well at the box office for a small show, but it's not even, I guess it's now about 7 months old, and already we see a lot of the principals leaving. So I'm a little surprised about that, but hopefully that means Keala Settle's going on to something else, because she is insanely talented. So I always enjoy seeing and hearing her. And finally, in the show and casting news section, the one-woman show Sell by Date from Tony Award winner Sarah Jones, that we've talked about here a number of times, has been extended now through November 20th at the Manhattan Theater Club. The show talks about real-life stories from real-life people in and around the sex industry. So as our headline over at Broadway World said, apparently sex actually does sell.
Okay. All right. So one of my favorite websites, Curbed, looks at the Palace haunted history.
Yeah, I didn't know you were a big fan of Curbed, James.
Love Curbed. Anybody who lived in Manhattan reads Curbed, because it's just it's evil reading.
Well, you can explain a little better than I can, because I'm only a casual Curbed reader, but it is it's basically like an architecture and neighborhood-y type website. Is that a fair description?
Yeah, and you get to see a lot of things and talk about a lot of prices that are whispered about, and you see really cool things, such as the Palace Theater.
Yeah, so they've got this article that we'll put in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com that came out on Wednesday, where they went through this really cool history of the Palace Theater back from its early days as a vaudeville stage, and then all the way up until the present. And it talks about all of the weird intricacies inside the building, as well as some of the hauntings that apparently go on, including the rumors that one Judy Garland haunts it. It's a really cool read, and there's other haunted theaters on Broadway that they mention, including the Belasco and the New Amsterdam and the New Victory. So I hope they make a series out of this, because while I don't really believe in ghosts, I love ghost stories anyway. So check that article out. It's a lot of fun.
I didn't read the article. Does it talk about the ghost of Tupac Shakur?
I don't believe so. No, is he supposed to haunt the palace?
Well, Holler If You Hear Me was in there.
Oh, so, Jesus.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's a different kind of ghost, James.
All right. Hi. Next up, Hamilton's America to be streamed tonight.
Yeah, if, let's say, you can't get to a television and watch PBS's Arts Fall Festival tonight at 9 p.m., check your local listings, you can still see the initial broadcast of Hamilton's America by going onto Great Performance's Facebook page. We'll have the link, where they will be live streaming America's Hamilton, the documentary that debuted at the New York Film Festival earlier this month, and that seems to be just continuing the wave of Hamilton domination on all aspects of our popular culture. The documentary is directed by Alex Horowitz, and obviously features a lot of behind-the-scenes information that starts very early on in Lin-Manuel Miranda's writing process for the musical. It also contains, as we mentioned a week or two ago, a large number of snippets from a lot of songs. So if you haven't seen Hamilton, like me, this will be an opportunity for you to see some of the performances that we haven't seen on awards shows or different types of broadcasts. So I'm really looking forward to this. I'll be watching it on TV. But if you can't, you can see it on Great Performance's Facebook page.
All right, Matt, that's enough for now. Get us out of here.
All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. And you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt and subscribe to Something Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And my name is James Marino at BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks for spending your week with us. We'll talk to you on Sunday at This Week on Broadway, or back on Monday for Today on Broadway.